all the time, and we're glad to see you, and invite you to come back when you can. We'll be in 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles this morning. We'll do a little review right quick as we normally do, and then pick up some new material as we go. Of course, we're in this area of the divided kingdom. The kingdom that said Saul, David and Solomon, the United Kingdom period, and now it's split because of the sins of Solomon, who is idolatry. And Rehoboam and Jeroboam have had the kingdoms in the north and in the south. And we're kind of diving into that. We'll review that in a minute here. But this is a kind of our theme slide for the quarter. And this goes back and says, obedience brings blessings and sins brings curses and punishment. And that's what we find all through this whole period of the divided kingdom. Well, through the whole Bible, far as that goes. But through this whole period here, God said, you obey me, I'll bless you. And you sin, you turn your back on me, and I'm going to turn my back and forsake you. And so that's what we see there. Of course, no good kings in Israel at all. All of them are evil, falling after Jeroboam. And that phrase is used over and over. And we'll say it again this morning several times. And there are a few good kings in the south. We're involved with some of those now, with Asa, and then his son Jehoshaphat will be next here. So, God had given the kingdom 10 tribes to Jeroboam, promised him that if you'll be faithful to me, I'll give you a dynasty, just like David has a dynasty. But unfortunately, Jeroboam turned his back on God and built the 2 golden calves, one at Dan and one at Bethel, and took off through the idolatry. Jeroboam reigned 22 years. He was not a good king because of his idolatry there. And his son Nadab reigned in his place. And he then was killed by Baasha. And that's kind of where we're getting to the part we're getting toward this morning as far as the north is concerned. Baasha left none of the household of Jeroboam alive. He wiped out the household totally because of the sins of Jeroboam. So Jeroboam reigned. Then his son Nadab reigned, and then we have a new dynasty going to start because the entire house got wiped out. And that's kind of where we are in the north end with that. After Baasha then, he's reigning in the north. He reigns for 24 years. Again, he's not a good king. New dynasty. His choice again. God says, you follow me and be faithful to me, and I will set you up to reign forever in the north. As long as you're faithful to me. But Baasha did not do that. He chose to worship the golden calves that Jeroboam had set up. So the kings look like this, where we are so far. On the left, Judah, the southern kingdom, with Rehoboam, 17 years. Abijah, his son, for 3 years. And then Asa comes in, his son, and he reigns for 41 years. He was a good king. Some bad things about toward the end of his life, but overall his reign was good. And we'll pick up Asa again this morning with that tail end of his reign. Then the north at the same time, we've got Jeroboam and Nadab, then roll the line because that dynasty is over, and Baasha now reigns for 24 years. Asa praises Jehovah. And he prays to him because of the Ethiopian army that's coming up. Ethiopian army, 1 million strong, coming up against Judah. We had this last time. We're just going to do a review here now. And basically what he says is, God, we need help. And it's not beyond you to help, whether there's many or few. Whether there's many with you or people with no power. It doesn't matter. You can help. And it reminds us then of a couple of things we've already studied, we know about. That is, Gideon with his 300 men. God kept winning the army down to 300. That's all they needed because God's going to show his power. And then Jonathan and his armor bearer, when they went up to attack the Philistines, and Jonathan used almost these same words. He said, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. And so the same type thing is going on here with Asa. I said, we're outnumbered greatly, but that's okay because the power's in you. You are our God, he said here. So God gives Asa the victory over the Ethiopians or the Cushites, went on down into towards the Philistine cities, took great bounty back. And the prophet meets him then, and he talks to him. He says, hear me, Asa. Listen to me. This is the prophet of God speaking. Listen to me, you and Judah and Benjamin, the 2 tribes with you. He said, if you seek the Lord, You'll find him. If you forsake him, you won't. He'll forsake you. It's a choice. Gave Asa a choice. Tribes, they follow him a choice. And we have a choice today. Joshua told the people back in his day, at the end of his reign, and as being over the people and bringing them into the invasion and conquest time period, said, choose for your stay who you'll serve. It's always a choice. God will not ever force me to obey him. It's my choice whether I'm going to obey him or not. I obey him because of what he's done for me. I obey him because of his love he's given to me. He first loved us, even before we loved him, and showed us how to love him. I had this slide in, the verse right before this, verse 7, is the end of the prophet speaking there. And he says, be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. We talked about that verse last time. And when Asa heard these words, I left this verse out. It was calling my attention. So I put it in here. He took courage. These words encouraged Asa. And we need to be encouraged. We need to take courage and put our hands to work. Our hands will be rewarded too. And we go back and look at a couple of verses that kind of tie in with that. Back in Deuteronomy, it's Moses speaking again toward the end of his life. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you. He's the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. This is Moses telling them what to do when they got into the promised land there. And then this from Joshua. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If you look at those words, that verse, what a song we sing. It's almost a word for word taken from that verse. Be strong and courageous. The Lord is with you wherever you go. That song. And then one from Psalms that kind of ties into this. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So when Asa heard the words of the prophet here, he took courage. And I got one more here, and this is where it really ties into us, I think, here on this point of being courageous. When Paul is on his journey, and he's going in up to Rome, and they land there in Italy, and people came out, the brethren from around there, knew Paul was coming, and they came out to meet him. And the verse says, when Paul saw them, when he saw these brethren came out to meet him, he thanked God for it, and he took courage. Just their being there for Paul, just their being there, gave Paul courage, something he thanked God for. And we can be courageous. We can make each other courageous. We can encourage each other just by our presence, just by caring for one another and what we do for one another. And to pick that up from that point there. So moving on to the review here, when people in the northern kingdom saw what was going on in the south, and they were following God, they were being blessed, they came down then. They left the northern part and came down and to Israel, and they were strengthened because of that. And we've got this verse here to tie with that, that when people see us doing good, God gets the glory. People see us doing good, God gets the glory because of it. Let our light shine. So, Asa now comes in. And he wants to stop this flow of people down to the south. So he sets up his siege, if you will, kind of in the middle of the country where people from the north won't go down into the south. And Asa, who has already gotten help from God against the million man army that came up from Ethiopia, this time instead of going to God for help, he calls the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, and asks him for help. And then the prophet comes to him and says, why? Why did you do this? Don't you know God can give you the help? He's the one you go to for your power. He says, didn't he not deliver you from the Ethiopians? Why did you turn your back on him? And then not unlike us, when people correct us, he's got mad at the prophet, threw him in prison, and treated him badly because he had told him what he did not want to hear, even though it was the truth. We'll talk again about Asa dying here in a minute, and we'll get this morning's lesson. We also talked about these verses a little bit. Seek God, you'll find him. And said they did seek him. They sought him with all their soul and were found by him. We talked about this verse. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. How do we do that? Well, you purify your hearts, get rid of evil in our lives, and then here's some of the hows we talked about. We draw near to God by our prayers, praying to him as we should, our association, who we associate with, study his word, meditate on it, and just do it. Just practice it. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. So that's kind of what we left off with last time. I took too much time, almost went through that. Let's get into this morning's stuff. 1 Kings 16, we'll start off actually in 2 Chronicles 16, as we pick up with some of the life of Asa. Asa's king in Judah. It's his 36th year. Asa's toward the end of his reign now. And Baasha's king in Israel. And they're at war. They're at war. And this is the same war we just mentioned earlier when this siege has gone on here. And Asa goes to Ben-Hadad, takes some gold and silver. Essentially buys his allegiance, if you will. He comes in and attacks Israel then. And Asa gets chastised for the prophet for putting his trust in the king of Syria and Ben-Hadad and not in God. Put Hanani in prison then because of that. Now, in the north, Jehu is a prophet. Don't go in. He's going to rebuke Baasha. He rebukes Baasha for a much different reason. Much different reason. Baasha's in the north. All the kings there are bad. Not that they have to be, but by their choice. Now, there's a little small on the screen up there. It's in 1 Kings chapter 16. We're back over there now. And this is what the prophet tells Baasha. Inasmuch as I lifted you out of the dust and made you ruler over my people Israel, and you have walked in the ways of Jeroboam. I told you earlier we're going to see that phrase over and over and over. Jeroboam set the whole stage for all the kings of Israel. And that phrase is used over and over to denote their sins, their evil, their idolatry. You walked in the ways of Jeroboam, and you made the people of Israel a sin, and you provoked me to anger. And I underline that word anger. We're going to see it several times in the slides this morning. And we've talked about that a couple times back. Remember the slide we have, the big bolt of lightning on it. What happens to God when he sees sin? What's his reaction to it? He's jealous because he is our God, the only God. He gets jealous if we bring other gods in, and he gets angry because of it. So we're going to underline the word anger, and you'll see it several times this morning. He was angry about that. So he tells Baasha, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you. Just as you went in and killed all the household of Jeroboam, same thing's going to happen to you and your household. Then whoever dies in the city, the dogs will eat, whoever dies in the country, the birds of the air will eat. So same thing's about Baasha and his sons after him. It's happened to Jeroboam. So Elah, the son of Baasha, reigns in his place. And the same verse is repeated then almost we just read from there in verse 7. Again, the prophet comes to him and says, all the evil you did, you provoked the Lord to anger. That word's used again. Second time we've seen it here now. Because again, you followed the sins of Jeroboam, and it's the way you walked, what you did. So now we're in the 26th year of Asa. Asa, of course, is in Judah. Elah is now reigning in Israel. And Zimri is commander of his chariots, one of his commanders in Elah's army. And he comes in to Elah, finds him drunk, and he kills him. And more than that, he kills all the relatives. Again, the same thing that happened to the house of Jeroboam is now happening to the house of Baasha, just as the prophet had said, we're going to wipe out the house. And it was interesting, I thought, to notice, not only did he kill all the family, the sons of Baasha, if you notice there, it also said he killed their friends. But he just cleaned out the house. God's doing this because he doesn't like the evil they're doing in the north. And he keeps trying to find somebody there who will serve him. So Zimri wiped out the house of Baasha after Baasha and Elah were the kings. And now Zimri is going to set himself up to be the king. So again, we got this verse, same type thing. They sin, provoke God to anger with their worshiping idols. So, let me get my slides right a second here. All right. Bottom line. Zimri. He is now king that killed Elah and all the household of Baasha. And he's now set himself up to be king. And he reigns a really long time. He reigns all of 7 days. And Omri, who's another one of the commanders, hears what Zimri has done. So he comes in to where he is and brings all the army that's with him in there. And Zimri realizes he ain't got a chance. And he don't want to face his enemies there, really his own people, but now they've become his enemies. They're trying to fight for the throne. And so he goes into the house of the king and sets it on fire and burns it down himself and kills himself. So he reigned all of 7 days. And there's a little battle about who's going to be king then, and Omri pulls out and wins over that cause. But Zimri, the verse again that describes his little short reign, the same verse we got for everybody else in the north. Committed sins and doing evil, walked in the ways of Jeroboam, and committed and made Israel sin. The same pattern we've seen over and over and over. The people make Omri king over them now. He was one of the commanders in the army. It's the 31st year of Asa. Asa's getting down really close to the end of his reign now. And got Omri reigned for 12 years. And the biggest thing we got to kind of note of him is he built the city of Samaria. So, we'll look at the map in just a minute, and we'll see Samaria on that. All right. Omri bought the hill where Samaria is. He built the city of Samaria there. And let's look at the map a minute with that. All right, can I get oriented here? Here's the Sea of Galilee. We're in the north part now. This is the kingdom of Israel in the north. Sea of Galilee's here. It's the Jordan River coming down through here. Mount Carmel was in the next couple of lessons up here. Here's the Jezreel Valley. Mount Gilboa, where Saul and Jonathan were killed in the battle. So Shechem here has been the capital down here. But here's Samaria over here, where he bought the land. And Omri builds his capital city here in Samaria. That stays and becomes the capital of the northern kingdom then for years and years to come. It's the city of Samaria. Still at the, kind of the middle of the country here. Now, we've seen every king in the north come in, and what's said about them? Basically, two things. They followed in the ways of Jeroboam, and they made God angry because of their idolatry, what they did. Now look at what's said about good old Omri. He was worse than everybody lived before him. It's bad enough already. God's been wiping the dynasties out because the people are so bad, they're sinning and won't do what God wants them to. And now Omri comes in, and this phrase here is used about him. He's worse than all that lived before him. Same thing. Walks in the ways of Jeroboam, made Israel to sin, provoked God to anger. It's almost a just take the verse and copy it over and over and over. But every one of these kings came out through here. So my question is, do we see a pattern? I mean, it's over and over and over. And who set the stage for this? All the way back to Jeroboam. This golden calves he built is where it came from. Now, if Omri's not bad enough, worse than everybody who lived before him, worse than all the kings before him, now we got Ahab coming in, his son. So when Omri dies, Ahab now came. And remember anything at all about this frame here, this time frame, we know about Ahab. So, Ahab's going to reign 22 years, and what's said about Ahab? What if his father Omri wasn't bad enough, doing more evil than anybody before him? The same verse is used in about Ahab. He did more evil than those before him. So, it's this downward spiral going over and over, and north's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. With their behavior. And now to top all that off, who does Ahab marry? Jezebel. Okay? Jezebel. He's the daughter of this Ethbaal, who was the king of the Sidonians. Remember Tyre and Sidon? Tyre and Sidon are way up in the, on the map, way up in the north part, right up here above Mount Carmel. So that's where she was from. And she served Baal. Now, look at Baal. Baal mainly means owner or king or ruler type thing. That's what the word itself means. And there's lots of different variations of Baal worship. But the main thing we're going to see in this is this fertility goddess type thing. Goddess of fertility. Fornication is part of their temple worship. Priests, priestesses, male and female prostitutes, all involved in the worship of Baal in this time frame, from the best I can read. So now, what's the morals of the country gone to? I mean, it was bad enough already, serving golden calves. Now you're serving Baal, and you brought this into the worship. So you just see how bad things have gotten in Israel. Now, just hang on to that thought of how bad things are in Israel. So we got just an absolute knockout coming up here a little later on, and it's the cause of all this. A little picture it's a short distance, it's like 3 or 4 inches tall. This is going to be a little household version of one of the images that they've uncovered of Baal and their diggings over there. So, Ahab, same verse, again, provoked God to anger, and did worse than all the kings before him. Now, right at the end of this chapter, we have a verse stuck in frame as far as what's going on, except one little verse stuck in here, and the city of Jericho. What happened to the city of Jericho when Israel first came in to start the invasion and conquest? They marched around the city every day, one time for 6 days, 7 times the seventh day, and what did the walls do? They fell down, okay? So the city of Jericho has been destroyed. They went and took it. And there's a verse in Joshua, very small at the bottom here, Joshua 6, verse 26, where Joshua makes a prophecy that whoever builds back the city of Jericho, when he does, when he digs a foundation, his firstborn son will die, and when he finishes up and hangs the gate to the city, his youngest son will die. That's all the way back in Joshua, several hundred years before this. And guess what we have in 1 Kings chapter 16, the very last verse. In his days, Ahab's days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho, laid his foundations with the cost of his firstborn, and hung the gates with the cost of his youngest. Just, and even the verse even says, which had been spoken to Joshua, the son of Nun. So just as Joshua prophesied, Jericho has been rebuilt with the cost of a man of 2 sons, his eldest and his youngest. All right. Now then, we'll go back to the south here. I'll talk about Asa a minute. End of his reign, the 39th year, he reigns 41 years, remember. 39th year of his reign, he gets very diseased in his feet. We mentioned this a couple of classes back. And the big thing about it, as much as he relied on God, all in the past, except for when he went to Ben-Hadad for help, he doesn't do it again. He seeks help from the physicians, which is okay, but who did he leave totally out of the picture here? He does not seek any help from God for this disease he had in his feet. That's his 39th year, then he dies in his 41st year, and he's buried there in the city of David, and apparently with great mourning from him. His son Jehoshaphat reigns in his place. Asa left the southern kingdom in good shape. They had been devoted to God. Asa served God. He was a good king. Makes a couple of mistakes in judgment, but he was a good king overall. So Jehoshaphat takes over from his father, and things are much, much better than they've been in the south any time so far. Certainly with the reign of Rehoboam and his sons. So Jehoshaphat just sets out and makes things better. Another good king. He's going to reign for a number of years. He strengthens Judah against Israel. The verse about him, instead of saying he followed the steps of Jeroboam and made God angry, it's about the opposite. He did not serve the Baals. He did not serve the Baals, the idols, and he walked in the commandments of God, walked in his commandments. So Jehoshaphat's going to be another good king in the south. and we'll follow his life some more. He makes one big mistake. We're going to talk about that. We'll hit it right at the end of the class, I think, for a minute. Jehoshaphat took the high places down, the other places, even though the people had been serving God, there were still the high places where the idols had been. He took some of those down, and the big thing he did was he sent the teachers, the priests, the Levites out through the land, and they noticed they took the book of the law with them. They went out to teach the people. They're getting down now, not just serve God because the king is serving God. He's getting out and teaching the people what God wants them to do so they can serve him from their own knowledge. All the surrounding kingdoms get afraid of Jehoshaphat because the Lord's blessing him so. And even the Philistines, now get this, who's been the nemesis of Israel for years and years and years, back to David's time, and before that. And then on the coast over there, right next to the nation of Judah and Israel. But the Philistines now bring presents to Jehoshaphat. And all the ones around him then are fearful of him. And might be a good reason for it. Now he's got an army over a million men, Jehoshaphat has. And this is, goes through the slide does and shows the captains over and how many each one of them are over up there. If you add all this up, you're well over a million men in Jehoshaphat's army. So here's our kings now. Here's where we are. In Judah, we've had Rehoboam, his son Abijah, both bad. Then Asa for 41 years. 41 years is a long reign this time. A good king. And then Jehoshaphat, his son's going to come in behind him for 25 more years. And he'll follow in the steps of his father, and overall, he's a good king. In the north, Jeroboam and Nadab, wipe them out. Baasha and Elah, Zimri wipes them out. He reigns for a whole week. Then Omri comes in and kills him. And you got Omri and Ahab. So right now, we got Ahab in the north, and he's going to be a pain. And we got Jehoshaphat in the south. Here's where things are going to get really bad. These two are going to become buddies. How in the world would you think that ever happened? But they do. And then because of them having a friendship, which we'll see in the next lesson, because of them having a friendship, their children marry. And now you've got this evil north and the good south intermarrying here. And that really causes major problems. And we'll see as we get into it further. Now, on my chart I've made here, I'm going to confuse you now with the next slide. I've got Judah on the left, the southern kingdom, and Israel on the right. Okay? So Judah's on your left, Israel's on the right. And this is going to flip it around. I'm sorry. I found this chart, and I like it. It's got the actual years, the time frame built in here. But it flips it around. Now Israel's on the right, and Judah's on the left. But you see the kings that are down through here, and it breaks the times out. So we're getting down, starting out here about 921, when the whole thing started out, into Solomon. And we're down now into the mid-850s time frame here they have in Jehoshaphat right now. And then the name's going to get even worse, but we're going to have Jehoram here and Jehoram here, Ahaziah here and Ahaziah here, and then go to Athaliah, jumps from over here and comes over here. So names are going to really start getting confusing here in the next few lessons. Do that. When I pop this chart up, remember to flip it around and play all the stuff better. All right. Let's think about this a minute. We've been kind of through the narrative now. First Kings 16, verse 13. All the sins of Baasha and the sins of Eli's son by which they had sinned and which they made Israel a sin. We talked about this in one of our other classes. We were talking about Jeroboam and leadership. They sinned and made Israel a sin. Their leadership, what they were doing, the way they reigned, who they chose to serve. Leadership. Everybody in this room has got some kind of leadership responsibility. I don't care where you are age-wise, whether you're a young person, if you're younger kids watching you, whether you're parents, whether you're teachers in a class, whether you're elders in a church, I don't care. Where you are in your life, you've got some leadership responsibilities. And those that are looking up to you, those that are following you, which way are you going to lead them? Where are you going to pull them? There's lots of us older people in here with kids and grandkids and some with great grandkids. What's our influence on them? How are we leading people around us? Like Asa and Jehoshaphat, or like the kings of the north? That influence will have an effect. Omri and Ahab both had it said of them that they did more evil than all those before them. Did more evil than all those before them. So, how bad has it been already in Israel? How bad was it when Jeroboam sent his calves up and turned his back on God right then and said, remember what he said? These are the gods that brought you out of the land of Egypt. These are the gods, these two calves here brought you out of the land of Egypt. These are your gods. That's when the diversion started, and they left God, North did, and they never came back to him. And now it's gotten where not just as every king says, they were like Jeroboam and made God angry with their sin. Now we got with this one, it's worse than any before him. The next that comes up, he's worse than any before him. So sin is progressing. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And that's just the way it is. We get caught up in it, it's going to pull us. It's a whirlwind. It's going to just drag us down if we let it. I put this line in this slide. I did the same class 3 years ago, went through our 3-year cycle, 2012. And then I did the same class in 2009. Now, when I put this line in here about, think about the U.S. today, how long was 3 years ago or 6 years ago? I don't think it really matters. Is the U.S. worse today than it was 3 years ago? Is it worse than it was 6 years ago? Yeah, I think the downward spiral is just continuing. I revise the slides when I go through them every time I go through to do this class, but that line was in there either 3 years ago or 6 years ago. My point is, I looked at it and said, "Don't want to change this line." He changed his line because it's just getting worse and worse and worse, just like the North did. The morals of this country, it's just in a downward spiral, going and going and going. I see heads shaking all over the place here. We're just in a downward spiral. Because sin just sucks us in with that. It's not just them out there. We've got to watch the buses too. It'll suck us in if we're not very careful. Remember this verse? Desires conceived gives forth birth to sin, and sin is full grown. It brings death. Progressive. We see it around us. It's that association we talked about drawing near to God with our prayer and our study and our association with other people. If we're the wrong people, what's he going to do? He's going to suck us right in with it. But David. When David first saw Bathsheba, I just taught this in the high school class last quarter. When David first saw Bathsheba, if he had turned his head and walked away, what would have happened? Totally different history. Totally different. But David stopped right then. But lust was there. And what did lust bring on? Sin for her and bring her to me. Brought adultery. Oh, then I'm pregnant. Now what? I got to take care of the husband. So lust to adultery to murder was David's part. Progression. One following another, following another. Prodigal son, New Testament. How far did he have to go before he decided it's time to go home? All the way to the bottom. Sin got him, and he just kept dragging him down. Dragging him down. Now, the positive thing about that is he recognized it at that point, and he came back. And what was his father when he came back? Sat there looking for him, watching for him. God is no different. We get caught up in sin, get pulled down the spiral. God wants us back. He wanted the Northern Kingdom back. He tried to get the Northern Kingdom back. They wouldn't come back to him. So when sin grabs us, tries to pull it down, God's there waiting for us. God's there waiting for us. All we have to do is come back to him. That's what the prodigal son did, thankfully. Now, thought about this. You think about us and the sin there. that verse we've had earlier up here. Be strong. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Why? Who's with us? All the time. If we do what He wants us to do. God says, seek me. We've already talked about it. Seek me and you will find me. Forsake me. I'll forsake you. So God's there. He's with us. If we just put our trust in Him and pull it in that sand. Okay. I think that's the last slide. Got about 3 minutes. I got thoughts. We left out. Talk about points. Anybody? Difference there. Jonathan and his armor bearer started out a great revolt against the Philistines to him. Yeah. Well, Mike says, Israel gets so bad, who did God bring in to finally put punishment on them? The Syrians. Are they nation following God? No, they're not. That's what God used to punish them. And when Judah then turned around and got so bad, who did He bring in to punish them? Babylon. Were they a godly nation? No, He used the ungodly nations to punish His people who were doing wrong. So you keep that in mind when you think about our situation today, but maybe we get to that where we are in this country. We don't know that. The other point Mike made is very well, is the point made about God can save by many or by few. We may be the few. We may be the few. We have to stand up. Keep standing up for what's right. Okay, we'll get your schedule, see what's up for next class. Is it Elijah and the prophets and Baal next time? I can't remember. I'm still getting lessons ahead in my looking, so I don't remember which one we got next time. We got that coming up, Elijah on Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal here pretty soon. Okay, thank you very much.